The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as always, on this absolutely magnificent Saturday morning. We're here to do all the fun things that we always do at this time on this particular day, and that means getting you some current, up-to-date information and weeding through a lot of the junk you hear and read. Boy, there's a lot of it lately. And, of course, first and foremost, to answer your questions with your phone calls. So, lines are open, 904-222-8255 or 904-222-TALK. And first rule of the show is and always has been, callers go directly on to the air. You can interrupt us, and we will not hold it against you, I promise. We will either know the answer, or we'll get you the answer, or we'll get it next week, or whatever. So there are no stupid questions. Remember that. There's always someone out there that shares your level of or lack of knowledge, I guess. And believe me, if you have a question and you get an answer to it, there will be other people listening who are happy to know that. Of course, the other side of that is the easier the question, the better we look. And part of your job out there is to make your hosts look good, whether you know it or not.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Hey, we don't ask much.
No.
We do the show for free, make us look good. It's a win-win. Hard ones, we will not shy away from. You know, that's what bothers me about so many of the financial shows you hear. They're canned, and I always wonder, are those people afraid they'll get a phone call they can't answer, or they'll have to defend some stupid position they've got and they can't defend it? I don't know. Or are they just too lazy to get up every week and come in live? I don't know, and I don't care. As long as you all are out there listening to us, that's what matters. We had an interesting week. We dodged a humongous bullet this week. Adam's looking at me quizzically. He obviously has no idea where I'm going with this. For a few brief moments, Jeff Bezos was not the richest man in the universe.
That was a thing that happened.
Fortunately, it got corrected, and the world as we know it is safe again.
Oh, gosh, I feel better already.
Yeah, there's a guy who, in his divorce, gave his ex $38 billion or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And he went from number one richest man in the world to number one richest man in the world.
Just by less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal.
Crazy.
But, there's always a but, right? But Microsoft got the $10 billion contract that you know Bezos wanted that more than life itself.
But so Trump, not a huge fan of Jeff.
Wonder why.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised that one went to Microsoft. I'm not saying that anything weird happened, just not surprised.
Well, if you read the history of that thing a couple months ago, it was about to be let to Amazon.
Yeah, it seemed like it was all but a done deal.
Yeah, it was a backdoor deal.
Yeah.
Somebody got wind of it, and I think that somebody was named Trump.
Maybe.
And all of a sudden it went out for bids, and all of a sudden Microsoft, who is, in my book, the company of the year.
I mean, they've had a really good run.
They have, and they're doing a lot of things right. And I like that. You know, I'm not a big fan of Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos, but if you lined them up in order, I know who'd be in the front of the line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have huge problems with either of them. They're all right.
Well, Bill Gates keeps more to himself and runs a good show and does a lot of charitable work and Bezos bought the mouthpiece in Washington so he could spend his entire life complaining about Trump. And I don't see the need for that.
Eh, whatever.
That's just me.
They're right. Yeah. Anyways.
You can do a lot when you have that much money.
You can do pretty much whatever you want.
Pretty much. Yeah. Ask Zuckerberg.
Within reason.
Well, hey, there's another guy. You ever want to be rich? Just remember what Zuckerberg went through this week. You might rethink it.
If you ever want to see the intelligence level of your politicians, watch them grill Zuckerberg, because it is so apparent what their absolute lack of understanding of anything related to economics or business. It was terrible.
And you let them publish things that aren't true. Well, who says they're not true? You disagree with them. That doesn't make them not true.
And really, also, people? They apparently do not understand the concept of independent fact-checking organizations.
Well, I just heard this morning over breakfast that 54% of Americans, I think it was, don't believe in the First Amendment anymore. They think it needs to be reined in and that hate speech needs to be punished.
Wow.
Isn't what they call hate speech, which is a term that truly does not exist in my mind, but they say hate speech should be cause for you to lose your First Amendment rights.
Wow.
That's not your 23rd Amendment rights. That is your First Amendment rights.
And there's a reason it's first.
There is a reason it is and always will be first. And if we ever lose that, we lose the country as we know it.
No doubt about it. I mean, that is step one of any regime that wants to control you and your thought.
Well, you know what Marx said. First you get control of public education, and then you got them.
No doubt.
Yep. They did it.
Strip them of property rights. It's healthcare. It's all following the script. Great.
Anyway, back to the market. Yeah. I came up, you know how much I love to have a word for the week that kind of describes the market and my feelings. And all I could think of this morning was nice.
Yeah.
It was a nice week.
Yeah. And all of that, it was nice despite kind of mixed earnings data and weaker than expected economic data.
Doesn't matter.
No, didn't matter at all.
All news was good news.
Friday, we flirted with a new all-time high on the S&P 500.
I can see it there for a moment. Didn't quite
make it, but we're really, really close.
It stuck on the number 24.
Yeah.
It had to go up to 25, 3024, but 3025 being the record, a little over that. And it just wouldn't change.
No.
It sat there for the longest time before it pulled back.
Bounced against it, but that's okay. It was still a nice day on Friday, and it wasn't just in the U.S. Equity markets around the world rallied this week.
Yeah.
And in fact, relative to the strong U.S. economy, they rallied even more than us. Markets in Brazil, the U.K., Germany, Sweden, Switzerland, and Singapore all added more than 2% this week, while the S&P added 1.2%. So not a bad week for us, but even better for them. And a bunch of those are in Europe, which has been doing absolutely nothing for the longest time, which is great to see.
Yeah, it really rounds out a portfolio with all this going on. Interest rates aren't doing anything in particular. That's good.
No. I mean, well, their interest rates are being cut by their federal banks.
Yeah, which I'm sure has a lot to do with the stimulus in the market there.
Definitely. The NASDAQ was the biggest winner this week, gaining 1.9%, while the large cap Dow added 0.7%. So, again, we're seeing some divergence between the NASDAQ and the Dow in particular, with the S&P kind of coming in the middle. It's interesting to see. I don't have an obvious explanation for it.
I think the explanation is the one that you always talk about. The Dow 30 is a price-weighted phenomenon, which means if you've got an expensive stock that doesn't do well, and it's one of the chosen 30, then it's going to have Amazon.
Yeah. Well, they dropped some, but they're still at 1,700 something.
I did the numbers on that. The entire spread, you know, the overnight was really, really bad for them, but the entire spread was only, I didn't write it down, but it was only like 45 points or something.
Yeah,
on a $1,700 stock.
Right.
Big deal.
Yeah, but that will, because it's such an expensive stock, but just by total dollars to buy one share, it does have more weight.
The Dow would be at 29,000 or something like that if Apple had not split 1-for-7 so long ago because it's booming. And that's
why should a stock split affect indexes? It makes no sense.
Who's wrong? The stock splitting people or the index?
The index. It's terrible. It's a bunch of junk.
I know everybody likes it. I'm as guilty as anybody else when I talk about the market. I like to use the Dow because the numbers are big and they change a lot and all that. But we'll get into the nitty-gritty a little bit better right after the break. And you all know how we stand. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939 for your free CD. Call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Yeah, our trivia question this week brought to you, as always, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 904-636-7888. We are in the early throes of earnings season, so I'm doing an earnings season trivia today, and that's why I brought up Amazon a little while ago, and we're going to talk a little more about Amazon. The average change in the day of reporting earnings for the entire, across the whole stock market, the average change can be up, can be down, doesn't matter, is 0.64%, about two-thirds of a percent. But Amazon is what you would call a volatile company. What is the average percentage change for Amazon on the day they release their earnings to the nearest 1%? And it's got to be accurate. And I'm going to give you a hint. It's over 1. How's that?
Okay.
Average daily stock price change for Amazon on their earnings reporting day. Just a whole number. That's all I need. All right. Now I'm back to the nice week in the market.
Yeah. So earnings season is really underway at this point with over 500 stocks reporting. The beat rate stands at an impressive 73%, which would be one of the highest quarters since the financial crisis. So that's really good news. That's not a finalized number, but it's a good start. So once you set that as the current, then even if you come in below, you're averaging down, so it doesn't drag it down too quickly. The top line beat rate isn't setting any records, but it's in line with previous quarters at 59%. That would make it the highest rate posted this year if the quarter ended today or the season ended today, but below quarter four of 2018. So really not bad. Not great, not bad. The only real negative out of earnings season is forward guidance. The guidance being given is way more negative than positive this quarter so far. And this, I'm not sure if this is a reaction to the uncertainty surrounding the trade wars, or is there really something to it, or are people trying to set up a really nice holiday season beat rate?
I don't know. Letters. C-Y-A.
And the incentive is really, if I'm an executive, I'm going to want to lower my guidance too, because then it's a lot easier to beat it. So there isn't a whole lot of incentive to raise guidance unless you really need to boost your stock price.
And you better be real, real certain of what you're saying.
Yeah, without a doubt. And there is a lot of uncertainty right now in the political arena, in the trade arena. So I can understand why the bias would be negative.
Yeah, that's what the SEC calls Regulation FD, for full disclosure. If a CEO sticks his neck out and doesn't perform, there can be a lot of eyebrows raised in buildings in D.C. that you don't want your eyebrows raising for.
Even more incentive to under-promise and over-deliver.
Exactly right. Which makes it, stupid or smart? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
It is, yeah. So on a sector basis, the highest beat rates this quarter have been in healthcare and then real estate and industrials. The lowest rates have come from materials, energy, and consumer discretionary. But even the three lowest rates are still all above 60%, mm-hmm. which is a pretty strong beat rate. So I would say that so far, although guidance was lowered going into the season, but so far that we have had a very good earnings season. Mm-hmm. So back to Amazon. They reported on Thursday after the close, and they beat their sales revenue target but missed on earnings by 1.3%. So they kind of did the reverse of what's happening. They made more revenue than expected but had a lower profit. They're still showing a 35% year-over-year growth rate, but that's down from 41% earlier this year. So most of this can actually be attributed to higher delivery cost and investing huge amounts of money back in their own technology. However, if you listen to the media, of course it's the weak consumer.
Of course.
I have one answer to that. Nope.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
It's just
you
not.
You can even say it on the radio.
It's just not true. Not only did the revenue from online sales increase every quarter this year, but it has been rising across all online sales across all industries. Online sales have been booming, and Amazon has been right there with it, especially this year. Their drop in sales is, drop in revenue in their revenue streams is from Amazon Web Services and subscriptions. So it's not from online sales. It's clearly not the consumer. The Amazon Web Services is their business-focused line of sales, not their private consumer line of sales. So that's just a false narrative.
You don't have to do much real analysis to be in the financial media these days.
No, definitely not. They also saw very large increases in shipping costs because, as it turns out, one-day shipping is way more expensive than two-day shipping. I know.
Who knew?
It's shocking. But Amazon knows that one-day shipping is the future, and they're going to bring it to you now. The other thing that fed the narrative of a weakening consumer was that Amazon lowered their fourth quarter revenue guidance. My guess is they are setting up a huge holiday shipping season, and I really think they are going to blow the doors off of it in the fourth quarter. I like Amazon, especially with the pullback this past week.
Yeah, and remember, it is not Amazon's mission to make money. It is Amazon's mission to take the cash that they're earning and invest it again.
Right.
When they run out of ideas, then they'll start looking for a profit and start paying dividends.
Yeah.
But they are not out of ideas until they control the world.
Apparently, that might be their goal.
I clearly think it is. I think they want to deliver the first people to the moon and beyond.
It's possible. I mean, Bezos has a separate company that does that. But if you look at a company like Apple that pays a healthy dividend now, that's where Amazon will be eventually.
Yeah, that's a mature company.
Right. Amazon is clearly not there yet by their own design. They could be. They could just stop trying to do all of this, but that's not the goal.
Yeah, a lot of people complain because Amazon doesn't pay corporate income tax. But it's because they spend their money. They invest their money in every possible thing you can think of, bricks and mortar and research and ideas and concepts and you name it. And, you know, I'm talking about a guy that I'm not at all fond of.
No, but it's very impressive what he's built.
Yes, if you don't admire what he's done, you're not paying attention.
The fact is they would not be considered a consumer goods company, a logistics company, a technology company. I mean, they really fall into all of those categories because they do all of them so well. Most companies can't even do one of those things well.
I think that they truly have their own style called the Amazon style. You can't really link them with much else at this point.
No.
It's not like Walmart that's so much bricks and mortar but also has great online, or Target, same thing, in that they have very little bricks and mortar.
Almost none.
Yeah. They have steel buildings called warehouses.
Yeah. They have some, there's a gas station off of Hodges and Beach that has some lockers that you can pick up your Amazon deliveries in. So they have a little bit of presence, physical presence, but it's not
much. Can you imagine the lack of overhead compared to Walmart, for instance?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. It's hard to look at this guy and not say he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned the economic data earlier, and it really didn't look great this week. There wasn't a whole lot of it, though, so it was kind of a limited sample size. But only five reports beat or met expectations, and those were the Richmond Fed Manufacturing Report, Initial Jobless Claims, Market Manufacturing and Market Services PMI, and then the Kansas City Fed Manufacturing Activity. I found it really interesting that three out of the five reports that were positive were manufacturing related. But unfortunately, there was a negative manufacturing data point as well, and that miss came in the durable goods or durable and capital goods orders, and it was a pretty big miss. Down 1.1% versus a forecast of down 0.7% for September. Now, it turns out that a lot of that was due to the volatile aircraft industry. Not surprising, considering Boeing's woes right now.
I had a few billion dollars that we're going to spend on Boeing, I wouldn't have placed the order yet.
No, definitely not. I'm going to put that off for a while.
You get a much better deal if you wait, I think.
Or they might be begging you right now.
Know. That's true. But let's say negotiation is available.
For sure. So if you strip out the transportation sector, which is a common thing to do in this report anyway because it is very volatile, the index fell 0.3% versus a forecast of 0.2%. So it really wasn't as bad as the headline number looked.
Oh, and we had a, 42-day GM strike? This was the underreported story of the week, in my opinion.
Yep, definitely.
GM settled. On Monday morning, you're going to see a lot of factories turning their lights back on and start humming. And it's not the 45,000 or the 55,000, depending on who you want to believe. Those aren't the only impact. Those people going back to
work. So many small factories.
As a automotive supplier for many, many years, I'm telling you, when they call you and say, stop shipping, it's a bad day.
Yeah.
But you better be ready because one day they'll call you and say, turn it on. And you got to turn it on.
No doubt about
it. Miss a shipment, you're out.
And by the way, how bad is the manufacturing sector right now that they're able to have a strike?
Exactly.
Now, is that something that happens during recessions?
No.
That happens when things are really good. So, and the fact that they were able to settle it, it leads me to believe that some of this manufacturing fears are overblown.
Way overblown. I don't know if you saw press reports about Caterpillar laying an egg.
I did see that.
But guess where they didn't have trouble?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, China, I would guess, maybe was a little bit of a problem.
Gee, who knew?
Yeah.
Now, we're sitting down as of yesterday, if all went well, and I have not heard otherwise, getting part one of the Chinese deal put together. They finally realized that anything that big has to be broken into segments. I call that common sense. And if the first one gets done and signed, sealed, and delivered, you're going to see a whole bunch of things change, and Caterpillar better be ready to go back to work, in my opinion. So we'll see how it goes, and we'll stay tuned. You never know if you're dealing with Washington, D.C., though. I got a couple of numbers on that I'll give you after the break, too. The trivia question is still there, and we got to go pay some bills for a little while, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A judge has ordered the Justice Department to give House Democrats secret grand jury testimony from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. Chief U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell made the directive in a brief order on Friday. Democrats had requested the department provide the material, which was redacted from Mueller's report. Congressman Steve Scalise says politics, not crimes, led to the impeachment effort by House Democrats against President Trump. He told the Salem Radio Network the author of the articles of impeachment showed his hand earlier this year when he said that if President Trump were not impeached, he would win re-election. Calling it the most significant criminal justice reform in generations, President Trump revisited a signature bipartisan legislative achievement on Friday at a South Carolina conference. The First Step Act gives judges more discretion when sentencing some drug offenders. This is SRN News.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You know, we've been in business here in Florida since 1928. And if you asked what's been the most important part of our history and what will be the most important part of Underwood's future, the answer's the same thing for both. Our honesty and integrity. Our founder, H.F. Underwood, had a favorite saying, "Know the truth and tell the truth." That's why we're the longest-standing member of the American Gem Society in Florida, because we know that you have to have the knowledge about gemstones before you can tell the truth about gemstones. As a result, we've continued educating our staff through the Gemological Institute of America and the American Gem Society. In fact, today, Underwoods has the largest American Gem Society credentialed staff of professionals east of the Mississippi River. So come by and see why we're looking forward to the future and let one of our credentialed professionals take care of you. At Underwoods, San Marco, Avondale, or the shops of Ponte Vedra.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with 400,000 members. They've shared over $2 billion in medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And with MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And that's a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
School time is busy, so let Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Z-Best Tunis Restaurant just west of I-295 offers dine-in or takeout. The original Kronos Euros, oysters, shrimp, fish, wings, and more. It's all at Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant. A pound of gizzards or livers is just $4.99. 30 jumbo shrimp for $9.99. And check out the new Sidewinder fries. Discounts for military first responders and school employees. Each order helps local schools. Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, on Facebook as Z-Best The Original.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Looks like a rainy weekend with 60% chance of showers and mostly cloudy skies. Daytime high 86, overnight low near 70. That rain continues next week with a 50% chance Monday and Monday night. Partly cloudy, highs 85, lows around 70, and an 80% chance of rain by the middle of the week and continuing through next weekend.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And that noise you're going to hear over your head quite a bit this weekend, and with those funny little blue airplanes buzzing around, don't be shocked. They've been doing their practice, and it looks like they have an absolutely glorious day for the air show.
Oh, man, it looks beautiful out. And they've been right over our office the last few days of this week, and it's been exciting, to say the least.
Expect very bad traffic on the east-west roads particularly, and you'll be safe out there, people. You'll get there eventually. Just leave early. Don't do anything stupid. We want everybody safe and sound so they can come and see us in the office next week. Anyway, is that pretty much what there is to say about last week's market, that nice week?
Yeah, there was a little bit of home builder data. None of it looked really positive, except even though new home sales were down last month, they're actually up 15% year over year. So, you know, just remember when you look at 1 month, it does not make a trend.
Exactly. That is very important. It's such an arbitrary cutoff that 1 month does not a trend make.
Correct.
Shall we say.
Yeah.
And notice again that layoffs were down at 212, which is just historically unheard of. And it's staying that way. It's just dragging along the bottom. And now,
and with all the strike ending, what's going to happen in the next few weeks?
We may have this week setting another new record, which we wouldn't be able to report, I don't think, until are they within a week or are they 1 week behind?
Can't remember. I believe they're reported for the previous week. But
I think so.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
So, yeah, because it's on Thursday.
Within the next month.
A week
month,
from Saturday.
It would not surprise
me. We'll tell
me.
You if we were right or not. But that could be the barn burner layoff report of all time because of the GM strike ending. Now the UAW, feeling its oats in this great economy, is already targeting Ford.
Oh, it's happening.
Here we come.
It's going to happen. I guarantee it. If I was Ford, I would be getting my lawyers ready.
I ever told you how little I miss that?
Yeah, I bet.
I had two shops that were both Teamsters, and their contracts came up at different years. So every 3 years, we'd have one in each company, which meant 2 out of 3 years we were negotiating contracts. What a pain. Unions have some good points, and they also have some other things. All right. Have you ever seen a conclusion that tried really, really hard to come up with some facts to support it?
Isn't that reporting these days?
By the way, trivia question's still out there. It's the average stock moves about 0.2 percentage point on the day it reports its dividends. Amazon is more volatile than the average stock. How many percentage points does it move on average over on its reporting days? And it's a whole number greater than one. We know that. Well, here we go. A new study says billionaires paid lower tax rate than working class for first time in 2018. Do you have a quick response to that?
Yes.
I do, but I can't say it on the radio.
I mean, it's capital gains is what they're talking about, I'm sure.
Well, that's a lot of it, absolutely. So, in fact, my note here says, just like Buffett, Warren Buffett has always complained that his secretary pays a higher tax rate than he does. Well, yeah, that's because her salary is bigger than yours. You take all your money out in qualified dividends. Gee, dividends are taxed at 15, 20, or 23.8%, and income above where you guys are is well over 30%. Of course she does that. I think she also probably has a few shares of Berkshire Hathaway.
I'm sure she does. Yeah. Is it also just me, or is virtue signaling at an all-time high in this country?
Well, from something that was virtually unnamed a couple of years ago, it's everywhere. All right, so here's how you know when something's going on. First, you have this crazy thing. And my comment, before I even get into it, which I wrote on this article, this is among the worst excuses for both economics and journalism I've ever read. And I mean that. This one almost takes a cake. University of California at Berkeley economists... I could end this, and you would know the rest of it is.
I wonder who he voted for, or she.
I wonder. Two of them, Emmanuel Saez and Gabriel Zuckman. They call it the triumph of injustice. And its analysis shows Americans' effective tax rate since the 1960s. And it says in 2018, the average effective tax rate paid by the richest 400 families was 23%. A full point, and then some below the 24.2% rate paid by the bottom half of U.S. households.
Wait, the bottom half of U.S. households?
At a 24% rate?
Oh, wait, when? Back well, then or now?
Got to get there in 2018.
That's not true. Well,
let's see what they're doing here. What is the effective tax rate? The effective tax rate is the average tax rate paid by a corporation or an individual. The effective tax rate for individuals is the average rate at which their earned income, such as wages, and unearned income, such as stock dividends, are taxed. The effective tax rate for a corporation is the average rate at which its pre-tax profits are taxed, while the statutory tax rate is the legal percentage established by law. Right? So, this study ignores legal deductions for people who itemize.
Okay.
All right. Deductions have a name and a purpose, and they're found all over the IRS code. If these people have a problem with that, why don't they take it to Congress? Sayers and Zuckman's analysis does one thing different from other published tax burden estimates by including the total taxes Americans pay, not just the federal income taxes, but also corporate taxes and state and local taxes. It also includes the burden of $250 billion of what economists call indirect taxes, like licenses for cars and businesses. Ah, so the generally accepted version of taxes, which is what IRS imposes, is not good enough for them because guess what? It didn't come to the right conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So they wrote that the focus on the top 400 is because that's how it's broken out by Forbes and the government and all that. So big deal, big deal, big deal. The tipping point, the study says, was the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Aha!
Oh, I'm shocked.
We now have the sole reason that this was done. It is the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So it was passed by the Republican-controlled Congress and the White House in 2017, and it has been a huge windfall for the ultra-wealthy by lowering the top income tax bracket and slashing the corporate tax rate from 35 to 21.
Wow.
Yeah, I am shocked, literally shocked, to find that there's wealth disparity out there in our capitalist republic. Aren't you?
It's amazing.
Who knew? And pray tell, what is the very essence of capitalism and free economics and the American way? Work harder, do better.
Access to opportunity, not outcome.
Yeah. So they say the PAERS analysis shows the top 0.1% paid 2.5% less in taxes, the benefits of the bill that were promised, and the other benefits that were promised, like higher growth rates and business investment, have failed to materialize. So since the January 1 of 2018, according to these two, we've had no higher growth rates and business investment. Well, yeah. It's funny. That's not what I see in the papers and such. So in my book, I think they've done very well with their promises. There are, of course, some economists who disagree with at least some of their findings. Count me one. And some have come up with an estimate that show a smaller disparity between the rich and the working class. Harvard economics professor Jason Furman says the pair didn't include things like the earned income tax credit. Well, the earned income tax credit is kind of important.
Especially since it only goes towards the lower income individuals and families.
And it's tax money that they didn't pay that they get anyway. The tax money that used to belong to you and me, we give to them. Now, that is a net negative number, and that's a very good thing for the people who get it. There's general agreement among economists that the tax burden of the rich has fallen considerably over the past few decades. Who knew? What in the heck are we doing? We're lowering taxes? Folks, if you've been listening to us for any period of time at all, you will understand that low taxes equals more revenue every single time. Here's the killer to me. This is a quote. The rich definitely pay less in taxes than they did in the past, and, ready? Killer line. And less than they should.
Oh, well then. That's just, I mean, then it's a fact.
It doesn't get any better than this for people like me. Excuse me if I'm having too much fun. In a few seconds, we'll be back, and I'm going to ask you the wonderful question. You really want to give your home to your kids? I think I'm going to try to talk you out of it if you really think it's a good idea. So we'll do that right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave ventilation unit. Wave ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get six free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question is still out there. It is, the average stock moves about 0.2% on the day it releases its earnings. Amazon is more volatile. What percentage movement is average for Amazon? Doesn't matter if it's up or down, just the average movement on the day of their earnings. Also, this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can give Troy a call at 662-9794. Adam had a couple of quick things, but I wanted to interject something first. You know how much trouble we've been having getting anything done. The Secure Act still languishes in the Senate. There was a move this week by Portman and a couple others that wanted to try to get it railroaded through. They're still trying, but it passed the House at 417-3. Now, nobody agrees on anything that much. This thing could be done by a 100% voice vote in the Senate if everybody would play ball, and we could get the RMD age for your IRAs and such up. There's two versions of it that'll have to be rectified. One is 72 and one is 75 years old. I would take either one or anything in between.
Especially since that's happening pretty soon.
That's happening real soon. But if you think we got it bad, we've got 535 elected people up there. England, which didn't give Bojo his Brexit vote last Saturday, which I hope they would, they have 1,425. And Italy, who can't get its act together for love nor money, has 945. You think we got trouble? And those are small companies. Good morning, George.
Good morning. I got quite a bit of cash set aside, and been holding out doing any investing because of the tariff situation and all that.
Right.
You think might be a good time to get in?
I think so. If you look at some of the things that are going on in China, China is divesting itself of some major investments in things like yacht building. Their economy is not good, and they know the major reason why, that being us. So, yeah, I think it's going to start settling. I think it's going to be good. Pipe in here, Adam, if you disagree with me or agree with me.
Yeah, I wouldn't dive in. There are risks out there. If the China deal goes bad and we get into a full-blown trade war, that's one. The yield curve is still inverted despite some attempts at uninverting. And that's usually a sign that a recession is looming somewhere on the horizon. But that doesn't mean it's immediate. So there are just some...
What areas are you suggesting are good?
What's that? Right now... If you're going to go in, I know this is so boring, but I like the broad market, because I think that if you see a rally based on the China deal, it's going to lift the whole market. I think you're going to see the S&P 500 push above a new all-time high and potentially some forecasters are calling for the 32 to 3400 range. So I wouldn't be shocked by that. I think that another area to look is internationally. I was talking about it earlier, and you look at valuations like in the UK, you've got price to earnings ratios that are so much more attractive than they are here. You've got yields there are in the over 4%. You can't find a yield on anything at 4% in the US, or very few things, and their major corporations are paying that much just to hold their stocks. So I just think that there is more opportunities abroad right now.
Yeah, I'd probably look in the international arena. I'd probably look for a good mutual fund with a manager who's been there a long time with a good track record. We prefer mutual funds in that arena because stock picking is too hard to do yourself when it's international.
Or at the you can find a good actively managed ETF as well, or at least, at the very least, one that uses some smart screenings.
Yeah, well, EFA is pretty broad, but it's
pretty broad.
Yeah, it's not my favorite anymore. It used to be, but there are ways to do it. I wouldn't go more than 10 or 15% international. So if you're going to go in thirds or quarters or something like that, I'd break it up between our market at 85 or 90% and the international market at 10 or 15.
Okay. Sounds good. I appreciate the help.
No problem. And of course, the bond market's always there too.
Be wary in the bond market right now, though.
It's
had a huge run up this year. Yeah. And it doesn't pay you anything to hold it. I would be very, very careful in the bond market right now.
Although I like tips right now, because I do think that there is impending inflation out there, and they've returned 7.71% so far this year.
Mm. So. Okay. Well, thanks again.
Sure. Did you want to take a shot at the trivia?
How about 5%?
A little bit low.
Low.
But good guess. Yeah, like I said, this company is volatile.
Yeah, apparently.
We appreciate your listening. Thank you. Cheryl, she's usually good for a good guess, right?
Hi there. I'm going to guess 6%.
That's a really good guess, and it's too low.
Okay, thank you.
But thank you. Well, you're closing in. Take care.
So it turns out that Amazon's pretty volatile.
The 6% is 5 1/3% more than the average company, and it's still too low.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Wow.
So I wanted to ask you, if you live in an area where rents are rising quickly, what do you do about that?
Buy.
Yeah, that is one option. If you are a renter, look at buying a house. That is a way to stabilize your monthly payment. Looks like we have a caller.
But not everybody in the world agrees with you, right? Good morning, Larry.
Very quickly.
No problem.
6.25.
No, it's a whole number above 6. I'll give you another shot.
7.
Still too low. Mm-hmm. It was a trick shot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, what do you do if you're a lawmaker in Berlin?
Yeah, so if you're a lawmaker in Berlin, you look around the world at other examples of ways people have solved these problems. And what are the obvious places that jump to mind? San Francisco, New York, places that rents are really cheap because of all the good policy that has come out
control,
of their government.
Man.
So we're going to implement rent control. So
yeah.
Berlin has been on a tear, apparently, in rent prices. So their left-wing coalition government decided that they want to freeze rent for apartments that were built before 2014 for the next 5 years. Now, I'm sure they did an informal survey of all the landlords, of owners of those buildings, to see how that would go over, and it was and they all thought it was a great
idea. No, yeah. Yes, I'd get my rent frozen, so my income won't go up for 5 years.
And,
wow.
In case you're wondering why we're so opposed to this, what happens with that is the people that are already in those apartments benefit. What happens to everybody else? Their rent goes up even faster than it was before, because now there's less supply in the market. You get trapped in, you can't resize. If you have two kids and they go off to college and you're stuck in a 4-bedroom apartment, but it's rent controlled, so you don't want to give it up, and everything else has gotten so much more expensive, you're never going to downsize. That means the next family of five looking for a 4-bedroom apartment can't get one and has to pay even more for theirs. It's such a disaster.
It's called intervening in free markets.
And it is one of the reasons that New York is one of the most expensive cities on the planet to live in.
Yep. They just never learn. Now, I'm not going to have time to do this, but I'm going to give you a little outline. If you are thinking that you want to keep your home and your family, and that the right thing to do would be put your kids on the deed or something like that, just outright gift it to them, I want you to tune in next week and listen, because I'm going to save you a whole bunch of effort, a lot of rigmarole, and mostly a whole bunch of money. I don't have a name for this one, but good morning, caller.
Good morning. This is Leroy. How you doing?
Leroy, hello. Yeah, you sound familiar.
Yes. How about 10%?
Too high. I was so hoping somebody would do that.
Okay. Well, it gives everybody a bracket, doesn't it?
Yep, sure does. Thanks, Leroy. Take care. Right. Well, it's getting easier.
Yep.
There aren't too many choices left. I'm counting them. So if anybody wants to get in, you better do it quickly, because we're about there. Anyway, it turns out that giving things to your kids is not all it's cracked up to be. And it's particularly true when you're talking about your real estate. And the whole concept has to do with basis. So those of you who do a lot of investing or any investing, you probably understand pretty well what basis means.
And you can,
it's your cost in something.
You can summarize what the effects of that by saying it's long-term. It's avoiding long-term capital gains.
Exactly.
But we'll talk more about it next week.
And there are excellent ways to do these things. And the first one, I'm going to wait till next week to tell you, because you're not going to like it. But if that doesn't get you back listening to the show, I don't know what will. But think about that. And if you have any questions this week, call us at the office if you're even considering that. And I'll give you a little preview of what's going on next Saturday. Well, it's been fun. The average Amazon reporting day results in an 8% change. And I couldn't take a plus or minus one, because the point was too concise. So sorry about that, everybody. We will be back next week, same time. This is the Ben.